Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, family, welcome to another edition of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm your host, Chris Richardson. It's always a pleasure to come to you live from the den, if you will, on Monday nights at 9. I kind of look forward to the Monday evening because you just really never know what you're going to get, and I'm always excited to know who's joining me tonight. So shout-outs to any of those who are listening online right now. If you're tuning in with me, if you're dialing in, I just want to welcome you all to the show. Many of you all know I started this program about 3 years ago, and the whole purpose was to help, whether you're single, dating, married, to help you focus on living a better life. That means you can live better, love deeper, and laugh more ultimately in life. And so it really begins with you. You know, life is a journey, and it's as we know it as, it's not a race, it's a marathon. And I just want to know if you're willing to run the marathon, because if you are, this is a show about helping you find solutions, find answers to your often unknown questions that you may have, to your relationship issues or challenges that you may have with a relationship. So you can always say to the show every week, this is a show that you can share your opinions and also hear other opinions of others. But we've got one simple rule, and that's real simple. We can agree to disagree. That's right. At the end of the day, we can agree to disagree. And so we can challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. So dial in tonight at 619-924-0869. That's right, 619-924-0869. And if you want to drive a car, all you got to do is press 1 when you dial in on the night. So tonight's topic, we want to get into it, is the question that I raised is, it's really about how are they when it comes to owning their stuff? You know, some people like to blame others all the time. You know, well, it's not my fault, it was their fault, or so-and-so. Or, you know, I was just really talking to my fiance. We were doing a project this past weekend, and we were talking about cause and effect. That's interesting. So in everything, there is a cause and effect, absolutely. But that means there's a choice in the matter. So, you know, when it comes down to it, are you owning your stuff? That's my question tonight. And how does that affect your relationship overall? How is that impacting your relationship? Do you have a healthy relationship? Do you have a toxic relationship with others? Are you the toxic person within the relationship? So at the end of the day, what's your result? What's your answer? Does it end up there? So, and when do you learn the lesson? I think it's a hard thing to do, to go into relationships, and whether it's a male-female relationship, a relationship with loved ones or whatever, you know, you're in and out of relationships, and you're not learning because you're blaming others and you're not owning your responsibility for the things that you do within the relationship. And so, fellas, it's the same thing. It's one of those hard things. There's an innate responsibility that a man actually has. Ladies, there's a responsibility that you have, too, as a woman, a wife, a mother, that comes somewhat with the territory. So there's a lot of responsibility, and that's the key word. That's the big bird word tonight, responsibility. So are you really taking ownership? Are you taking responsibility for your issues? You know, I say it every week, but I really want people to get it. Your issues don't have to be somebody else's problem. That's really important for you to get, that just because you have an issue, it doesn't have to be the priority on someone else's agenda. I use my daughter, for example, you know, and you know, just because she has a challenge with something, it doesn't mean anybody can use their kids for that matter, come to think about it. But just because your kids have an issue with something or someone, does that ultimately become your problem? It doesn't. It doesn't have to be. So we have to learn really how to deal with our issues. We have to learn how to take ownership for our mistakes, our faults, our insecurities, our inadequacies, our weaknesses, if you will. So I guess the question tonight, again, I would ask, and I'd love to hear from somebody tonight, when do we learn the lesson? Is there ever a time where we truly learn the lesson and we don't have to keep repeating the cycle again and again and again? You know, growing up, we saw probably each one of us can witness that our parents went through something, whether you were rich, whether you went through the struggle of poverty, whether you were middle class, whatever. You saw and witnessed something. So the question then became, what did you learn? You know, over the past several weeks, you all have heard me talking about a class that I've been teaching. And one of the things that's been shared with my Brother Bill, let's refer to it as Brother Bill. Brother Bill says, I caught this, but it wasn't taught to me. So I asked the question again, maybe this is something that you were taught versus, or something that you caught versus something that you were taught. So what's the difference, you might ask? Well, here's the thing. Something you were taught applied a lesson. that you learned that someone physically or verbally shared with you. Let's use that for the analogy of what was taught to you. Someone took the time to explain to you right from wrong. Something you caught is something that you observed or witnessed, not necessarily right or wrong, but you affiliated your own connection with it, thinking that this is the way that it should be. So, again, when you get into a dispute, when you get into a disagreement, when you get into a conversation, you take a conversation and make it a controversy. Because what you caught was something that you bring with you in from relationship to relationship again and again and again, and you don't realize that you're repeating the same cycle, and it's the crazy cycle. Let's refer to that as the crazy cycle. You do the same thing over and over again, and it spreads. It's like, you know, we were talking about this just yesterday. There's the cancer. So if you have the cancer is looked at, and they take a biopsy, and it's either malignant or it's benign. And so the question then is, are you more malignant in your relationships or are you benign? Are you causing more hurt, harm, or pain to others as you communicate with them? And I always say this, the way you feel about yourself is what you convey to others. So if you have a high self-esteem, you may convey a certain level of confidence, or maybe some may perceive it as a certain level of arrogance. If you have a low self-esteem, it comes across maybe that you don't really believe in yourself, you're not sure, you're uncertain. And so when you get into conversations or you get into relationships and it comes down to owning your stuff, what do you do? Do you tend to always point the finger? We used to say that if one finger is pointed in a direction away from you, that means you've got four others that are pointing back at you. How many fingers are pointing back at you? Does it make to own yourself, own your stuff? Does it make you appear that you're weak if you own your issues? That's a question I really want to know. Does it mean that you're weak just because you own your issues? Or does it give you back the power? See, if I were to unpack that, I would think if I start to own my stuff, right? And we talk about this from the basics of awareness, self-awareness. Is really at a point where if I'm doing wrong, I have a consciousness, okay, that my consciousness is aware of really right versus wrong, okay? And so I know if I offend someone based on something that I've said or an action that I've taken towards them, in my conscience, because I do know right from wrong, because I was taught that versus what I caught, that I know that I may have to apologize or I may have to embrace what I've done, accept it, own it, and move forward. So oftentimes what happens is we'll repeat the crazy cycle again, as I refer to it as, because we are really playing the role of victim. And so some people, I want to say this is a quote that I found, authors unknown on this, but some people create their own storms. Then they get upset when it rains. Then there's something, you created the storm, and now you're upset because it's raining. Ask for rain. In some instances, you ask for rain. But you didn't realize that with rain, sometimes there's thunder, sometimes there's lightning. And so this is what you got. All right, let me put that in perspective. So, ladies, have you ever been in a situation where you wanted, you know, you're single ladies, I should say, been in a situation where you wanted him because he looked good, and yet, lo and behold, what you attracted wasn't what you really wanted, or what you got wasn't what you could handle. Sometimes we get things and we can't handle what we got because we don't know how to take ownership for our issues. And again, as I said in the beginning, that if you don't own your issues become somebody else's problem. Don't put your problem on my front door. I don't want it. Don't FedEx it to me. I don't want it. So what you have to do is learn how to identify what your issues are so that they don't be somebody else's problem. Because if you don't deal with the issue is going to deal with you. Or the problem becomes bigger than you, and that becomes something that continues to be a perpetual cycle. You go from relationship to relationship, no matter who it is, situation to situation, and nothing changes because you won't own your stuff. I don't know. I'd love to hear from somebody tonight, 619-924-0869. If you want to chime in on the conversation tonight, feel free to do so. If not, I'll keep on with the conversation and lecture. But holler back at me if I'm teaching right or preaching right, whichever you want to call it. Give me a little shout out and a nod. If you're on social media tonight, you can join me by going to The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Again, that's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Join the Facebook group. Love to have a chat with you, see who's out there in the chat group tonight. I'm excited, though. I think that this is a topic that we often avoid about this whole thing of ownership. And somebody, you know, you get in a relationship and dude always wants to blame you. That's a problem. He always wants to blame you. He never wants to accept fault for his own faults. He wants to just say, no, I did this because, again, cause and effect. You know, I did this because you said this. Well, at the end of the day, you have a choice on what you do. And the choice is yours. So you can choose to respond to the situation or you can choose to react to it. Now, I know this. I heard this from a good friend, Willie Jolly. He tells a story like this. You know, the doctor, you go to the doctor and the doctor says to you, well, they reacted to the medicine. They had a reaction to the medicine. You can brace yourself because you know that's typically connotated with a negative connotation. But if they said they responded well, we like what we're seeing, you know that in a response, it's a good thing. My question, whether it's the fellows or to the ladies, are you the good thing? Are you responding in a kind and favorable way? Are you taking the high road? Are you being other-minded in your communication on what you're conveying? See, I talked about this yesterday. Sometimes what you don't say in communication is telling on you. It's saying everything. And so it comes down to communication is one of those things, and all that it's about body language, it's all the gestures, it's about the colors that you wear, and it's about all of that. That's a sum total of communication. So when it comes down to, again, asking the question, when a person needs to own their responsibility, why won't they own it? Why? What are you really conveying when you say no? See, when you make a choice to not respond, you've just responded. And we hear that with this new presidential election coming up here in the next couple of weeks. It's sad because, you know, a lot of people right now are voting. You know, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent on that, but I just want to use that as an analogy that the whole piece, by you not voting, you just voted. That's the reality of it. You know, so if you're in a relationship and by you not saying something, let me preface this by saying this. Everything doesn't call for a reaction or a response. So it's kind of like playing your cards. You know, I like to play spades. At the end of the day, we can't talk across the board. Some things you just got to keep close to yourself. The only time you talk in the beginning of the spades is when you kind of talk and trash, you know, as you're dealing, and then you talk a little bit of smack when you get in your cards and saying, okay, cool, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call our cards, and then after that, you shut up and you play your cards. Sometimes you just got to shut up and play your hand. And you'll be surprised if you stop blaming others for how your hand may play out when you take ownership for your issues. It always amazes me that the people with the greatest challenge in relationships are the ones who always want to blame others for what they should have done. What you got to do is look at the history of that. Where is it coming from? You know, Michelle Singletary teaches a class on finances, and one of the things she says, what's your backstory? You know, your backstory. I like that. You know, think about that. What's your history with that? What's the generational pattern of pathology that you're tied into and you don't even realize it? See, here's the thing. DNA is one of these things that you can't deny. It's in there. So what's in your DNA? What are you made up of? But here's the great thing about it, though. And any time that you've done wrong, you can always do right because it's never too late at the end of the day. Well, we have to ask the question, are you blaming others? Are you creating the storm and then you get mad when it's raining? So what did I mean by that? All right, so you're pouting all the time. Why are you pouting? What's wrong? Well, so-and-so did this. Well, what's that got to do with you? Just because somebody, look, we live in the United States of America. What somebody does in China doesn't affect me. So why are you letting those things that affect those in China impact you on your day? Sometimes I think we take in too much. Gary Ganoos used to say, no Ganoos is good Ganoos. Sometimes we're taking in too much news. And some of that news we can't process and decipher it because it's all the same. When we think about the brain doesn't connect. I learned this from our coach, Nicole Rice. And she says this, the brain can't decipher what happened 15 years ago from what happened just a moment ago. What it does, it connects and it sends out a filter through the neurons, and it's filtering to see what data do I have there. Some of us got some bad data that's corrupting the file. It's corrupting your hard drive, and the reason why is because you got to get rid of your stinking thinking. You are thinking, so what happens is you become a magnet. I know that Anthony Robbins used to always say, you can walk on the hot coals. You can do that. But most people talk themselves out of it because they'll never take ownership for their issues, their challenges in life because of the way they think, because of their not understanding themselves. So we got to get to really understand who we are in order to move forward and to be healthy, whole, and have a successful relationship. We've got to do our work. Dr. Johnny Parker always says this, and I love to quote this because he says relationships are hard work, require work, but here's how he concludes it. They're worth the work. I just want you to know that you may be in a relationship right now. You may be finding yourself in a situation where you're frustrated, you feel abandoned or whatever. I just want you to know that God has not forgotten you, nor has he forsaken you. It may seem as though that you're dealing with a no-good Negro, whatever the case may be. I would submit to you that it's never too late for any scenario to change. But what has to change? Often change happens. Prayer doesn't necessarily change the circumstance. Prayer changes how you see the circumstance. You see what I'm saying? And so what you got to understand, it doesn't always mean because I pray, all of a sudden it's going to happen just like that. It is a process. And what you got to learn with your journey and you're dealing with communication is, how do I communicate what looks healthy and whole? So it begins with you, brother. It begins with you, sister. And all I'm saying to you is that this, at the end of the day, that being the case, you got to learn how to own your stuff. I always say the first person who apologizes is the bigger person. Be quick to apologize, slow to offend. Try that sometime in a relationship. Be quick to apologize. That means I'm going to offer an apology first and be slower to offend. You have no right to give me rules and you don't have a relationship with me. None whatsoever. None. Here's why I say this. Because even kids learn that rules without relationship create rebellion. Kids learn that in school. So you've got to learn, here's the end of the day, you've got to earn your stuff. So I just want to say to you that if you start to own your stuff, you'll start to see things shift a little bit. But it's going to require some work. Well, what do you mean, Chris? Well, you got to get into some teachings. You may have to listen to some workshops. You may have to attend some workshops. You may have to find yourself listening to YouTube. We have so much information that we have access to. We have information overload, so we have to be careful of the information we take in. Some things aren't always good for you, as you know. But I find myself as a student, I'm always studying, learning more about the craft of what I do. Well, what do you mean, brother? What I'm saying to you is that I'm not just waiting for Sunday to come around to learn the lesson. I'm looking for a word Monday. I'm looking for a word Tuesday. I'm looking for a word on Wednesday. And sometimes I'll turn to YouTube. I'll watch Bishop Jakes. I'll watch different pastors give a different sermon. I'll listen to psychological programs about psychology and mental health, those things, so that I can better myself, so that I know what I'm dealing with myself, and I can sometimes deal with it when I see it when I'm dealing with others that are around me, those that I love. And so at the end of the day, I'm trying not to create drama and be dramatic. I'm trying to be the one who brings lights up the room. I'm trying to be the salt, not the bitter, okay, that comes with it. Come on, somebody. I need y'all to talk to me tonight, 619-924-0869. You out there listening live, dial in, share with me. I would love to hear from you. Just press 1 on your phone, your dial pad, and share with me your comments, your questions. So what are your thoughts? What are your feelings in reference to this message? You're dealing with somebody at the house that, you know, won't own their stuff? Let's talk that through. Hey, the phone lines are open right now if you want to share. I promise you it would be something that we can talk through and unpack together. All as well. So blame, let's talk about that. A lot of people blame others for their stuff. Why is that? Why? You know what? Number one, it's easy to do. Because a lot of times you blame because you feel insecure, inadequate. You feel as though, and sometimes you blame because it's a point of arrogance that you'll never, the ego takes over and pride kicks in. And when those things happen, those are all, look, that's selfishness. The number one reason for divorce in America is not because of money. Yeah, money is problematic in relationships. You know, it's not over kids. Yeah, kids are problematic. It comes down to you're selfish, and that means you're not being other-minded. The class that I'm teaching is about healthy relationships. I've been doing it for the past 5 weeks. The sixth class is coming up, and the first thing we did day one, we laid out a foundational scripture, and that was Philippians 2. Philippians 2. That's our foundational scripture on this journey. And I think that's essential because at the end of the day, you know, when we look at who are we? We are the image of a higher creator, Jesus Christ himself. God created us, okay? And we love through his son. So when we look at Philippians, well, what does Philippians say? I'm gonna share that with you guys because I think that's essential for us to really understand that. So when I look at Philippians 2, we use verse 3 through 8 that's on that. And it's powerful. It said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. I just said the number one reason for divorce in America is from selfishness. And here it is that Philippians, and Paul's talking about, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So what does that mean? You want to blame somebody? No, stop blaming. Why don't you esteem them instead of blaming them for what they do? Again, I told you, if you don't have a relationship with me, you have no rights to create rules. Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in the hierarchy. Absolutely. I believe in order. I believe that we are called to order and to respect the authorities, or to honor. Let me say honor the authorities. Honor the authorities, because honor and respect aren't the same thing. Honor the authorities that are in position. But let nothing be done, back to the scripture, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. What does that mean? If I'm going to be in a relationship, I gotta put this other person in front of myself. I've got to lift them up. I've got to encourage them. I've got to let them know that, you know what, ooh, I see you. You're doing your thing. So I encourage them more than I discourage them. Why do we get in relationships? And that joker want to discourage you all the time. They want to blame you for doing something that their mama did or their daddy did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be. We've got to recognize that when we have root issues, we've got to stop allowing our root issues to come into the relationship. We got to call it for what it is. We got to acknowledge it, accept it, forgive it in some cases, because it needs forgiveness. And then we got to learn how to move forward, forward. You know, last year our theme was, at the church I go to, it was moving forward, forward. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. My past is over. I'm moving forward. And that's what we've got to do. So how do you move forward when you're stuck? How do you move forward when it hurts? How do you move forward when you're in pain? How do you move forward when you're discouraged? You've got to find Jesus. That's the only way to do it. You've got to find Christ. And so if you're going to open up, if you've never accepted him, you've got to find them. I say if you've tried everything your way, you said, you know what, I've done it this way, and for years it still hasn't changed. You tried it when you were 20. You tried it when you were 30. But yet, look, I said this. In my 20s, I was seeking my identity, you know, because as you're growing up, three things that you always seek through every decade, your independence, your identity, and your image, you usually kind of seek and search for until you find yourself, really, and then you're good. But at times, depending on the environment you're in, it'll be a cycle, image, independence, and identity. And so here is my 20s, I'm seeking my independence, okay? But in my 30s, I was seeking significance. How much can I make? What can I do? Because I need a title. I need to feel prominent. I need to feel status as a man. I need that status. Brother, I'm going to tell you, the money in your pocket, the car that you drive, the house that you live in, won't get her back when she's walked out on you because you don't know how to treat her. It won't. Status doesn't bring a woman to you. She likes power and position. Don't get me wrong. But she won't stay because of your status. If she does, then she loves you more than she loves the thing more than she really loves you. Don't get it twisted. She may be attracted to you. I always say this, just because if somebody gets off on the same floor as you, doesn't mean they're always on the same level. Yeah, we're riding up to on the level floor. We're getting off there, but don't mean we're on the same level. Look, the devil knows your level as well. He knows exactly where to get off on your floor. He knows exactly how to present something to you. And so what happens? You don't want to take ownership. Ownership. And so, look, you're going out. Last week we were talking about hanging out at happy hour and all that. You're going out looking for happiness when you're miserable coming home. You know, you're miserable because here it is. You won't take ownership for yourself. What am I saying? Again, you've got to be willing to do the work. You got to put in some work in order to get some results. Look, in order to become successful in life, success didn't just happen overnight. You have to define what success is. And for success means something different from everybody else. But if you don't take ownership of the things that you want to do, then guess what? You'll be kind of spinning your wheels, wandering like a wondrous generation around and around and around, like a merry-go-round, and ending up going nowhere. Years ago, there was a song by Arrested Development. Like, many people go to school and y'all still come out confused. Just because you get a little education, just because you get a little title or some digits behind your name, doesn't mean that you know your stuff. It may make you more, you've got credentials, but hey, people with credentials are still broke, busted, and disgusted as well. People with credentials are still emotionally disturbed, and guess what? They also, in the same situation that they may get into, find themselves making excuses because they're not willing to take ownership and be responsible for their issues. Again, your issue doesn't have to be put on somebody else's front door, you know, not at all. Where else? So I was at Philippians. I want to kind of go back to that. So verse 4 said, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Okay. All right, so I'm in this relationship, and I'm trying to look out for her interests. What does that mean? What does that mean? So when I'm thirsty, do I ask her if she wants some water? If I'm in visiting, do I serve her? Because I'm looking out for her interest. Is she good? If we're just sitting there having a conversation, do I check on her? Do I emotionally check in? See, fellas, sometimes a woman checks out because you don't know how to emotionally check in with her. You just don't know how to get into her space. Look, you know how to make love to her body, but you don't know how to make love to her mind. If you never get the mind, the body is just there. But until you learn how to make love to her mind, you haven't made love to a woman. Let me just tell it to you point blank. You start with the mind. So what does that look like? That's different. So here you go. You start talking and through the intellect and to the mind, the will and the emotions, and then all of a sudden, then once you really truly have understand the aura and the essence of who she is, once you understand that, then you can start to deal with the things of the body. But you put that last. See, the problem is we get challenged because we don't take ownership of our issues. We want to continue to womanize as men, and then what we do is we keep going from situation to situation, and we keep breaking things. And it's like Legos. They'll never stand up because you don't know what the image looks like. Until you find the image of Christ, your Legos are always going to break, brother. I remember going to an event a few years ago when it was about manhood, and it was a stand-up event. And one of the pastors there, I love the example that he gave. He says, what I want you guys to do at the table, I've given you all some Legos. And in the Legos, what I want you to do is I want you to build something. And so we were all building something. He said, now I want you to build an image of what you think manhood is. Wow. Build an image of what manhood is. So I said to myself, okay, cool. Well, we can do this. Now, here's the thing. He didn't give us any example or illustration. He just said, here are the Legos. They're all in pieces. I want you to put something together. I'm going to give you five to seven minutes, and at the end, I'm going to say time, and I want you all to show me what you got. The problem is, guys, we've been taking the time that we've been building it, and we've been building, and we've been breaking what we've built. You ever know why I wouldn't stand? Because you won't take ownership and responsibility to learn from the model. Well, who is the model? Well, he showed us what the Lego should look like. He said, this is the Lego that I have. Does yours look like mine? We said, no, we never saw it that way. See, here's the thing. We can't see the things that we need in the natural unless we have the spirit realm and understand and have a rightful relationship with Jesus Christ. Because what we do, he was the model for us as men. But yet we continue to think that, oh, I'm a man. Nah, dog, I got this thing. And so we never take ownership of learning more about ourselves through the deity of Christ. And so that we can be all that we're called to be. My good friend and brother, you know, David Burris broke this thing down this past weekend at this conference I was attending. And I'm just telling you, I told Dave, bro, you got to package this thing because he talked about husbands. I'm going to stay here for a minute, ladies, so I don't want to lose you. Fellas, stay with me. It's tight, but it's right. Trust and believe. He talked about husbands, and what he was saying in that thing was a heavy thing, man. It was just, he broke that piece down that what husbands really, really need to do, and I was just flabbergasted with that. And I said, Dave, man, I said, bro, you got to package that. And he says, you know what, I'm going to do that. And this is what he said. He came from Ephesians 5:25. So I'm talking to the brothers. I'm still on message on ownership, taking ownership, but I want to talk to the brothers for a second here because this is important for us. And so David Burris, Ephesians 5:25, this is the word. He says, as men, we all know that we are to leave and cleave, and some of us haven't left and cleave. And so there are two types of husbands. There's number one, it's the husband that is until death. That's the one husband, until death. Do his part. Then you got husband number two, he says, it's unto death and do his part. See, this particular husband, as Dave said, this is the husband unto death knows that he's got to die every single day. He's got to find a ditch to bury himself in because he's got to bury his flesh every single day. That means this is a brother who's taking ownership and knowing that my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and bury this. I'm going to bury this flesh today so that I can serve you, wife, and the way that you need to be served, not the way that I want to serve you. See, oftentimes we love a woman and vice versa. We love someone the way that we want to be loved, but we're not paying attention to the way they want to be loved. So is that truly like Philippians talked about being other-minded, or is that being selfish-minded? So I want to free somebody today because somebody's dealing with the issue of the ownership piece and they're not willing to take responsibility and they keep getting blamed for the things that the other person should have done. Well, there's some culpability there too. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But I'm going to stay right here with the brothers. Here's seven truths to a husband. He said, number one, a husband, it's never about you. I like that, Brother Dave. Break that down. He said it's all about giving and never about getting. He said love based on what God has given to you gives to her. So Christ didn't come to get. He came to give. I said, boy, you preach it. He came to give. So I guess the question is, what are you giving her? Because remember, if you give a woman, I know Pastor Jenkins said this years ago. He said a woman is an incubator. She is going to give you double what you gave her. So if you give her food, she'll make you a meal. If you give her a house, she'll create a loving home. If you give her love, she'll reproduce that and give you that back. But if you sow something else, you will reap what you sow. So all I'm saying is to the brothers, in this particular example, that's only point number one. What are you sowing? Because if you're reaping right now and you don't like the harvest, maybe it's time for you to not be so selfish. Maybe it's time that you start giving something different. And that means you sow not of your flesh. You sow of your spirit. That means you're being other-minded. Point number two, he says, always be on purpose. Christ didn't do anything without a purpose. He knew from the very moment, hey, after his ministry assignment, I'm on purpose here. Let's get this thing done, because he was always seeking to please the Father. So Dave says Jesus came to die for her, her being the church. Automatically, at the end of the day, he had to die. Excuse me. Fellas, if you ain't willing to die for her, don't play with her. That's all I'm saying. So number three. Oh, no. Part of point number two, he said, being a husband is a thankless job. Wow. That's so right. Because not every time, but guess what? Your victory is here, but your reward is in heaven. You can have victory here, absolutely. Point number three, it always leads to service. Acknowledge the God in him. So what he's saying here, he says, being a husband always leads to service, because Christ was about serving others. So, you know, he knew what I'm here to do is my assignment. I'm here to serve. He did the miracles. He fed the villages. He fed the people. You see what I'm saying? All I'm saying is, what are you feeding the people that are around you, and are you willing to take the ownership on your watch? You know, if you're a boss in any position, and on any position, the first thing the people do, they don't come to the subordinate. They come to you because it's on your watch. So they want to know, hey, you own this. If you're an owner of a company, you know, and by the way, definition of ownership is one that owns something. It's a possession of it. Have you taken possession? It's a state. It's a relation, a fact of being an owner. Are you owning your stuff? Are you acting void of it because you don't have enough character, or your character is under question and attack? I'm just saying. Anyway, Dave's fourth point. So we have point number four. It always makes the bride better when we serve unto death. Point number four, he says, look, husband, look, if you're going to do this thing, take ownership of this thing. Take responsibility. It always makes the bride better. When Christ died, guess what? We received the Holy Spirit. We received the power. And he said, this too you shall do. The greater miracles that you do. See what I'm saying? So we receive that. Are you walking in your calling, or are you playing the victim role? See, all the times I think that sometimes both men as well as women, we like to play the victim. Therefore, we're looking for somebody to rescue us. Hey, look, all I'm saying is that if you find yourself in a situation, you may really be a victim in a situation. I'm not minimizing that. What I'm saying to you, if that's your case, then look, send up an SOS screen. Get help. There are support groups that are out there. Reach out. Have a conversation. Give someone a cue, a clue, a signal of something, and just say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I'm in a desperate situation, whatever, that so that you can get the help and support. I know that it's not easy. I've not been through it, so I can't tell you what that walk is like. On the other hand, I would encourage you that if you are playing the victim and you're not in a victim situation, is look at yourself in the mirror. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, I always say this question is, what do you see? Be honest about it. If you don't like what you see, don't dress it up. Deal with it. How do you deal with it, you may say, Chris? Well, what you got to do is be real with what you see and say, hey, cool. So if you got long hair, you want short hair, what you got to say is, I don't like the hair that I have. Then you got to deal with the hair situation. All right, let's go to Dave's next point of what he says here. All right, so point five, he says, always deliver a better bride back to you. Always deliver a better bride. That was the fifth point. So when Christ came, he left, he came to serve, and he left it better, and he gave it to the world. So here we are in a better situation. Now, again, I'm not Dave. This was his message. I'm just taking some footnotes on it, trying to share this because I think it's a little bit relevant as I talk to the brothers about ownership as we talk about it. Number six, he said, it should never hurt her, but it should always kill you. That's deep right there, fellas. It should never hurt her, but it should always kill you. Remember, we said in the very beginning, if you're digging your ditch, that you should do every day because you realize you got to die of self. That means dying of your flesh. That's all that really means. And again, remember our principal scripture that I used in this. It's Philippians 2, being other-minded and let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Now, here's the thing. Going back to Philippians 2, okay, I want to kind of toggle between this and Dave's message. His last point's coming up in just a minute. But in verse 5, Philippians 2, if you're just joining me, Philippians 2, verse number 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Interesting. Let this mind. That means we are to think like Christ. You know, there's a scripture that says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. All I'm saying to you, are you really owning your stuff? Are you still playing like a child? Are you still playing with toys, you know, and looking for a response? Now, I know we like our things, our attachments, and God's always like, you know, things that are that zing, ting, and ring, and all of that thing, stuff. You know, we like nice cars and stuff like that. Right. But is that really relevant to making you better? Or is that just a facade for really what's underneath? See, your car doesn't make the man. The clothes don't make the man, as I said earlier. Your house doesn't make the man. Uh-uh, not at all. Excuse me for one second. But what makes the man is the Christ in the man, that the man that learns who he is in Christ through the scriptures and applies that in his life. And so what happens, he becomes the salt lighting up the world. He is the village. He lights up the village where he goes. He's the light on top of the hill. My question to you, are you lighting it? What are you lighting up? What are you lighting up? Are you taking ownership for it? Last point today says, as Christ is the most is most dead when we are most innocent and we were guilty. Wow. Now, I know that ain't good English, but that's really good teaching. I'm going to say that again a little slower. He said, Christ is the most dead when we are most innocent and we were guilty, when she is most wrong. Okay, so let me kind of try to unpack that a little bit. So what he's saying, that when you look at the end of the day, he died on the cross for our sins. He died for your sins. He died for the sins of those who are yet to be born. So in our innocence, but yet when sin entered in the world after Adam and Eve had partaken of the fruit and sin entered into the world, then we are born into sin. We have a sin nature, if you will. But yet, in number seven, the point was that Christ died when we were yet innocent and we were guilty. We were guilty of our pleasures. Well, that's the thing from Dave that he wanted to share. So shout out for Brother David Burris. Going back to Philippians 2, here we go, verse number 6. It says, who being in the form of God did not have considered himself, consider it robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. He reduced himself. He didn't have to, but yet he did. So I'm saying to you, back to both the men as well as the women, when you're in your situation, are you willing to serve even though you don't have to? Are you willing to die of self every day? That's both men as well as for women. Are you willing to own your stuff? Are you willing to get help for your stuff? See, you can't do it by yourself. At the end of the day, and I would say to you, don't try to self-medicate, because many people who have overdosed trying to put too much in the system. Don't do it. Get qualified professional help. Seek professional guidance. You know, that's what you want to do. There's really a lot of different counseling groups that are out there, there's support groups that are available. If you don't know any, I've got resources around the I got a litany of mental health therapists that I have in my support group that I can, you know, refer you to and talk to, that practice various specialties, okay? So practice various specialties and modalities. So in any case, I think it's really important for us to really know who we are, where we are, and how does that play into the relationship? So how do you feel when the person that you're with doesn't take ownership? They always want to blame you. Well, you said, they did. You know, that's some buffoonery right there. That's just somebody who's broke, busted, and disgusted, and it doesn't want to really look at the little boy in the mirror who's demanding and calling the shots. You know, a good friend of mine, Dr. Pam Love, we used to always talk about this. Healing takes time. If I cut myself, the cut that I have, I usually, if you have a surgery, that is a process that you'll never forget. Never forget. If you had to go up under a scalpel, or let's say as a kid, you suffered some severe trauma or pain that you had from an injury. I can remember playing football back when I was a peewee, and I was a running back. I was a little chubby back then too, you know. So, but y'all don't talk about me. But I had a little chubs. So I was running a fullback at the time. I ran through, and I got hit so hard, I'll never forget that hit. Some of you all have been in relationships, and not literally you've been hit so hard, but figuratively you've been hit so hard, and that trauma has stuck with you. And so here it is, when you're in relationship with others, that trauma shows up. Because remember in the beginning of the show, I said the brain cannot distinguish what happened 15 years ago from what's happening right now. It's looking for a reference point. So my question to you is, what are you going to do to rewire the circuitry? Are you going to go with the trauma? I had a cut back in the day as well. I got flipped over in the football. I was riding a bike without a seat on it, and it was the pole was there. I don't know. Maybe I was about, 10? I've got a scar on the back of my leg. I'll never forget that scar. I can visualize it right now how I did it. But guess what? It don't hurt anymore. Why? Because I got help. I got healed. I got whole. So what I'm saying to somebody right now that's listening to this thing, it's time to stop playing games. Relationships aren't a game. As Dr. Parker said, they require work. You got to put in the work. Look, when you get on my team's, you know, football right now is the man thing. We ride or die with this football thing. But what we love about football is the contact sport. It's the competitive nature. Relationships aren't competitive. They're not meant to be. I'm not supposed to compete with my fiance. We shouldn't be. We should complete one another for our kingdom assignment, though. But how are you going to complete the person with the kingdom assignment you don't even have a vision for? I've been talking about this. That's so significant. When you talk about the ownership, fellas, take ownership. Write the vision. Make it plain. If you're not going anywhere, you don't like where you're going in the relationship, I ask you the question, do you have a vision? Do you see where you want to be spiritually? Do you see where you want to be personally? Do you see where you want to be in your relationship? Do you see where you want to be professionally? Well, you know, every business has one. Write the vision. Make it plain. What you waiting for? And share the vision. Share the vision. And so that it becomes something that you all get and do together to see it. Ladies, when he shares it with you, support him. Support him. What does support look like? It means you take your mouth off of it. It means you encourage him more than you discourage him. You speak life into them. I always say that if you want to speak life into a man, you got to stop talking about him. Stop talking about when he's not around. You got to edify and uplift him. You have to encourage the inner man so that the outer man becomes what you are looking to be. But guess what? As you're praying, remember I said it before earlier in the show, prayer don't always change the situation right away. Prayer don't change the situation like that. Prayer changes how you certainly see the situation because, see, this is what's happening. It's working. It's a spiritual thing. It's working on the inside. You can't necessarily see it immediately on the outside. But guess what? My God is a supplier of all things. Not some things, but all things. And he'll work it out. I've seen him do it time and time again. When you least expect it, when you need your miracle, he'll show up in the midnight hour, just like Paul and Silas. They prayed, and what happened? It was an earthquake. And what happened? The walls came tumbling down around them. What happened at the Jericho? You know, they walked around Jericho seven times. And guess what? The walls came tumbling down. All I'm saying is that they prayed. You've got to pray. Now, you've got to learn how to pray together. Instead of blaming him, instead of blaming her, why don't you pray about that thing? Pray more than you blame. Okay? How about that? Sit there and say, look, we're not seeing eye to eye on this thing. So I'm going to take ownership and say, I'm wrong. I'm at fault. Remember I said it in the beginning. The one who can apologize first is the bigger person. Apologize versus putting blame. Okay. Hey, I want to take some calls now. 619, I see you're out there. 619-924-0869. You learning anything tonight? What have you heard? What do you like? What are you sharing? I want to call some folks out. Now, if you're out there on social media, want to hear from you as well. You can connect and chime in with me on the Real Talk with Chris Richardson group page. I see that Joanne's out there. Shout out to Joanne. I see Vangel, Boss Lady Greg is out there. Shout out to you as well. Sorry I didn't pronounce your name right, but shout out. And that's important. I like the question. I'm going back to what Ms. Gray says. Are you emotionally checked in? And she says, if you haven't made love to the mind, you haven't made love to the woman. Ah, you like that. That's right. She says, you're teaching. Well, thanks for the shout out on that. I really appreciate that. And thank you for joining us tonight. I really do appreciate that as well. Hey, guys, little side note. This is a little commercial break, infomercial. I got 16 days. That means I'll be a married man. I'll be saying, I is married now. How about that? 16 days. I'm ecstatic and happier than a hog and some slop. Ain't that something? But truly am. And I'll tell you, it's been a journey. It's been a journey of work, though. But I've prepared because I've come intellectually. I'm dealing with this thing on a spiritual level. Absolutely. This thing is spirit-based. And so that's how we're approaching it, this go-around in this relationship. Because we've all had some challenging relationships with individuals, whether that's people that we know that are close to us, family members, you know, all of that is challenging. But we take an ownership, and so guess what? I'm not only taking ownership, I'm taking leadership. It's important for a man to lead. You always hear me say this from time to time. I say, look, guys, truth be told, a woman doesn't mind following. In fact, I did a show years ago, and that's true. We can go back, and it's documented. A couple years back, I did a show that was titled A Strong Woman, The Essence of a Strong Woman. Man, that was a four-part series. It was so good. Listen to that, and you'll hear it. Woman saying, I really don't want to be strong. But guess what? She's got to be. And so in many instances, she comes across strong because she's dealt with some weak brothers. In some instances, she comes across strong because she's been hurt. She's been wounded. And so what she does is project something that she's really not. But you get her in an environment, she's just as docile as a dolphin. Isn't that something? You know, it's funny. But so, again, I say it, what are you saying? What are you really saying? What are you trying to communicate? It's important, you know. So shout out to Rob Lawson out there. I see you, brother. I appreciate your shout as well. I appreciate you joining in for the show. I want to hear from some folks tonight, so I'm going to choose and dial in on the line, 646-667. You're there. What are you learning tonight? Share a thought or comment with me, if you will. 646-667. You're on the spotlight with Chris. Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Thank you for joining. What's your name and where are you calling from? 646-667. All right. Well, and they answered not a word. All right, 202-509.
Oh, I didn't know
you called tonight.
Critical care.
All right, 202-509. You're there. You want to share a thought or comment for the show?
We have on here just a chemo bed, and that's a medical bed. I didn't see anything on there.
Well, I see that she's multitasking and she's working tonight. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a plum-pleasing pleasure tonight to share this information and insight with you. Listen, at the end of the day, the moral of the story is this. Stop blaming others for what you should do. Point blank, stop blaming others for what you should do. You've got to take ownership for your issues. If you don't face your issues are going to take ownership and deal with you. And so what do you want at the end of the day? Paint the picture you want, not live the one you don't want. See, that's the thing. You know, when I was a kid, we learned how to paint within the lines. We learned how to color. We learned how to, you know, see what colors was, orange, brown, the blues, the green. And I could paint whatever I wanted to be. All I'm trying to tell you is, in the words of Dr. Parker, turn the page and start painting the colors. But guess what? I'm giving you the privilege that you don't have to stay within the lines. Here's the thing. There are boundaries that you have, but this is your chapter, this is your book, this is your next story. Are you willing to turn the page? Are you willing to make a difference? Or, as they say, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If you want something different, you've got to be willing to be daring enough and courageous enough to do something different. If you find yourself in a quagmire within your relationship, if you find yourself being stressed out by all of your relationships, and guess what? You need help. You need help. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. So let your pride be the smallest thing. Let your pride be the smallest thing. Let your humility that others see be the biggest thing. Be humble. Be humble and approach that. And oftentimes we disguise what we really are by how we dress it up. Just because it looks good in the moment don't mean it's really good for you at the time. We all know that saying, you know. So we dress the things up and we make it look good. How you doing, girl? I'm good. Oh, you look good. You know, that's a lot of pressure. That is a lot of pressure. I get it. But that's some pressure that we've placed from the societal thing. It's in some cases, it's cultural. I get that, too, that we've put a lot of pressure and false expectations on people. Therefore, it's so hard that they're not able to cope with it or really deal with it the proper way. All I'm saying to you tonight is God is a healer. He is a redeemer. He is a rejuvenator. He can set you free. He can move you from where you are to where you want to be. But all I'm saying, are you willing to try him? That's all I want to know. Are you willing to try it? Are you willing to do something different? Are you willing to get into your word? Are you willing to find yourself on your knees? You got to have a knee ministry. You got to be willing to pray. Even when you got everything you want, that's when you pray even more. God, help me to sustain this. Help me to deal with the enemies that are on the way, because you know every level becomes, there are new devils. There are new challenges that you have. Bishop Jakes would be the first one to tell you that. But can you sustain it? Can you walk in humility with others around you, even when they got their knives and their daggers out and they're trying to attack you? See, that's when your character really shows up. That's when they can tell whether you're the son of a king or you're the son of something else. All I'm saying is that I'm just asking you tonight, it's self-reflective. It's not, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. I'm sorry. Newsflash, I don't. But at the end of the day, I want to tell you, you don't have to stay bitter. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to be bruised. You don't have to be confused. Because God is a healer, and he can set you free. Are you willing to try him? Well, tonight it has been all about taking ownership. With that, why don't people take ownership for various reasons? Some people are dealing with some mental health issues. Some people are just dealing with some past issues from their past, which, by the way, could be also affiliated with mental health. And so it's a great time now that if you've never consulted with a professional, talk to a professional. Talk to a professional. And if you are a faith believer, talk to a Christian professional who doesn't mind injecting both an infusion of Christian principles along with mental health practices and approaches. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a treat and a pleasure to roll with you tonight as your host. It is always an honor. I certainly hope that you have heard something by thought, word, or deed tonight that I've shared that may impact and change your life, change your relationship for the good and not for the bad. I pray that something that I spoke would give you wisdom, insight, direction, and healing. I pray that God would speak into the man of your situation and turn it around. I pray that anyone who's struggling right now with an addiction or affliction will find themselves dealing with the man in the mirror, the boy in the mirror, but guess what? You're not by yourself and you're not alone. And there's a shadow that's there, and his name is Jesus. He's there he will take care of you. He will move you in from brokenness to betterness, but it's a process. Just try him out. Try the process, and he'll give you the provision. He'll give you the desires of his heart according to his will. I need to add that in there, according to his will, because sometimes our will, sometimes God's will, that ain't going to happen. You always find yourself repeating the same situation. Why do I find that this? Because you've got to take ownership. Ownership is doing the things that you need to do in order to find yourself in a better place and in a better position. Well, it is 9:53. Tonight's show, we're going to put it to an end. I will tune in with you guys next week. Now, next week is Man Talk. This is for the men. Fellas, call a fella, tell a brother. We're going to go hot and heavy. That is the last show that I'm going to do for the remainder of this year. I'm going to take a little break for the, you know, the nuptial change and all that. I've got to take a break because my wife and I, we need to fellowship together. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do until the beginning of the year. So it's been a treat and a pleasure. Deuces. God bless. Good night.